right, yo. I'm not Alexi Sale. I'm Talal Kalkuti. I co-host, produce the podcast. Does anyone here listen to the podcast? Yeah, let's hear you. Okay, as little as I thought. And so the rest of you, get ready for a mild ride. It's a very casual conversation, unscripted, improvised. And a lot of it, depending on how soon we run out of things to talk about, will involve you guys asking Alexi questions, okay? So start thinking about what you might want to ask Alexi Sale. We'll do a good, healthy length of Q&A. And whatever stories that comes out of that, that's all good. Are we ready to begin, do you reckon? Good. In that case, I'll introduce him. He's all the way at the back of the room. So we'll need the applause to last as long as it can take for him to get here, which I think might be a minute and a half. So please welcome to the stage, Alexi Sale! Here he is. Alexi Sale! Come on!
Hello, Wellingborough. It's good to be back in Northamptonshire. I had a house for a long time in a village called Moreton Pinckney, which is between Banbury and Northampton near Daventry. And we moved in on the week when I'd been on Top of the Pops. And a kid came up to me and said, I was watching Top of the Pops with my granny. And I said, oh, there's somebody on Top of the Pops who's moving into the village. And she said, as long as it's not that fat bastard in the tight suit. Okay. Anyway, so...
what town was that?
It was a village called Moreton Pinckney. It was not a centre of radicalism. Say the least. I remember the pub was called England's Rose. It closed down, thankfully. But it's that impulse, you know, to buy a place in have a place in the country. We had a lot of friends in Banbury and around Northampton, and so Tracy Thorne from Everything But the Girls got a story about where she buys a house in the country, goes there, pulls up all the flowers, and then never goes back. We did more than that, but we were there for years.
Any Moreton Pinckneyites in the building?
It's a bit too far north of here, I think.
How long did that last, or have you got any other stories from that area?
Oh, many, many mediocre stories about Banbury, Northampton. Mm-hmm. No, not really. that's about it, really, come to think of it.
Well,
I was very different then, because I had this kind of, you know, I was this kind of punky comedian, and... I didn't know how, because probably because I had this, you know, this image, but I didn't know how to talk to people. And I remember once going for a walk in the lane, and there was a bloke with a goat. And I just kind of panicked. And in the end, I said, "Nice goat." And then sort of ran.
Well, you haven't got much better at talking to people, I don't think.
I was always very bad at
I'm sorry, I said
small
that.
Talk. Yeah.
Well, we're very grateful to the Wellingborough May Day and Diggers Festival for having us. It seems like a really fucking the Diggers. I was up late last night watching online lectures about the Diggers and stuff, trying to brush up on my digger knowledge. How are you? What's your relationship to the Diggers?
Well, encyclopedic. I've got that comedian's ability where if I looked at something, I could convince you that I'd got a PhD in it. But I think that my understanding is that the Diggers are the level. I mean, it's that. I mean, the English Civil War was the sense of the first Civil War, that the first where you saw that change, you know, that change from feudalism to what eventually became monopoly capitalism, but you know, capitalism and the merchant class taking over from the landed aristocracy, and of course that happened in Britain first. And so you also saw its first example, as far as I know, of all those other things that accompanied revolutionary movements, which is that you have that everybody starts out together, and then you have this, you have these radical wings like the diggers and the levellers and so on that then become a problem. You know, yeah. The mainstream government becomes corrupted by power and clamps down on, you know, the radical out there, radical element. You know, and we see that process endlessly repeated. But I think it's important to maintain it, and also that. Yeah, that spirit of England, of Britain really, but of England, that spirit of radicalism, which is suppressed, you know, which is that our history of those movements of the British people's, you know, I mean, the fact that the diggers, you know, were interested in the commons, you know, and that's communism. That's what they were interested in. And, you know, the different ideas of property and, you know, our relationship to the planet as well. You know, our relationship that, you know, that the absurdity of, you know, I mean, Marx said, you know, owning a piece of land is absurd as owning a person. You know, I mean, but that history is really a vibrant, essential part of our history, really, you know, and it's events like this keep it going, but that is also, it is suppressed, you know, it's never referred to in the conventional narrative, you know, so that's why things like this are very important, certainly. I think.
And, well, you see it now with the Palestine supporters. Those dastardly villains. Yeah. You know, the atrocities in Gaza over the last couple of years have shone a light on Palestine, and more people have started educating themselves on Palestine. And oh my God, more people know about Palestine, and suddenly they think Palestinians deserve rights and deserve to have their own land. And I think the diggers also show that danger of what happens when the people are educated. Because as far as I understand is that there were less parishes at the time. Parish numbers were dwindling. And so people started reading the Bible themselves, learning how to read, and then reading it. And they're going, hold on, this world belongs to all of us? What the fuck? And so, yeah, and you're seeing that now with people learning about Palestine, going, wait a second, this has been going on the whole time?
Yeah, well, it's also that radical. I mean, it's that radical history of Protestantism, isn't it? Where people, you know, got rather than having the whole sacred text interpreted by theocracy, that they instead got to read the sacred text themselves. Of course, the first people who translated the Bible into English were executed. Burnt alive. There's a particularly rough comprehensive school in Tufnell Park named after the guy. I keep forgetting his name. William, I can't remember.
Well, over the years, you've done lots of events like these, haven't you? One of the nice members of the team here reminded you of a Ealing, what was it, communist?
Ealing Communist Party. Party Bertolt Brecht. Yeah, I thought I was going to get more laughs than this, really. But instead, I'm just being a bore.
Yeah,
do this at home, really. You know, Linda, the thing about Protestantism is that you interpret the sacred text. Shut the fuck up!
Not much of a digger or gardener yourself, are you? I didn't mean to say not.
That's fucking desperate.
Are you good in the garden? Have you ever sown a seed and eaten the fruits of that seed?
Yeah.
You have?
A little bit, yeah. I've got a patio that I... I'm quite proud of my patio.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I grew a chili once and ate it. It's such an unheard, it's so rare. Now, obviously, you guys, we're from
it
London.
It gave you a tremendous sense of connection with the soil and the air.
This pot that was on my mantelpiece.
Yeah.
Spat out a tiny chili and I put it in an omelette and went, oh, that was worth, that was worth the 2 months it took. It's a nice fantasy though. One day I want to fucking have a bit of land and grow my own food, but it seems like a lot of effort. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm remembering a lot.
This is what people pay the big bucks for, isn't it? Yeah.
This event and the Diggers.
He used to be really good in the 80s. I remember he was great, but something's happened to him. I don't know what it is. He seems to be kind of cognitive decline there.
Who here ever was a member of the Woodcraft folk? One person.
Oh, he's called the Woodcraft folk, the paramilitary wing of the co-op.
I was just reminded a lot about them today with the learning about the Diggers. They started their commune down the road and growing their own roots, vegetables, mangoes. But that's how the Woodcraft folk started in World War One. They were pacifists. They didn't want to join the army.
Yeah.
So they fled into the woods and started a commune. And that's why it's like the hippie version of the Scouts now. And I grew up in the Woodcraft, and you've always given me nothing but scorn for it.
I was, because both my parents were in the Communist Party, so I was actually in the Young Pioneers in a town called Trutnov in southern Czechoslovakia. It took me a long time to get to meetings every week, but I was a young pioneer.
So, Russell Brand's a maniac, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He is. He's shit, isn't he, Russell Brand? At least you got to say, I mean, for all my cognitive decline, I haven't turned into Russell Brand. I mean, I've kept going, haven't I, with this shit? You know, I mean, I'm still kind of identical to, you know, where I was.
Yeah.
I haven't mutated. I haven't taken on, you know. I mean, how many different fucking religions has he been now? He's been a Buddhist.
Yeah.
He's been a sort of radical. Now he's a Christian.
And when this podcast first started, we were really keen to get him on as a guest, weren't
we?
I think we dodged a bullet.
Yeah. He did, fuck.
But similar to the Diggers, he uses the Bible to justify his... Looking, no, sorry.
Yeah, but he's. It's that messianic thing, isn't it? The comedians get really. I've been adored, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, people have been too nice to him, really, for too long, really. I don't know where that was going.
What helps?
I
guess he was single for most of the time at the peak of his fame.
Yeah.
Not to justify anything he's done, but you were pretty tied down with
him
the whole time.
Yeah.
That got you out of a lot of trouble, I imagine.
Yes.
Not that you would have been a...
I was remember talking to a journalist on the Mail in the 80s, and he told me that I had a file and it said, not worth following. Said happily married, not worth following. It said, "It made me really angry. It made me want to kind of fuck a rent boy or something." You know what I mean?
All right, let's shake things up. I wrote you a song.
I could be that desperate.
I might regret doing this.
Yeah, go on.
I rewrote the words to "She's Electric" by Oasis.
Why?
He's Alexi. Your favorite Marxist, he's sexy. If he were a glass, he'd be plexi. And his podcast is fine. He's Alexi. He'd rather a bike than a jet ski. He boycotts McDonald's and Pepsi, but he reads the Times. There's one more.
Yeah, go on. No, it's going down well. Sorry. Yeah.
He's Alexei. He played Jerzy Belofsky, a famous lefty like Bobby Gillespie, except he's not a twat.
Thank you.
I was quite drunk yesterday. I went to a different May Day festival yesterday in Deptford. May Day and Beltane celebration. It was a parade. Well, it was a pub crawl disguised as a parade.
Well, again, I mean, that, you know, that whole, that tradition, I mean, it's like that whole tradition of, again, English, you know, that connection with the land, the green man and Beltane and yeah, all that. It's something that is kept hidden from us, really. And,
well, I was drunkenly ranting at like the fourth pub that I was like, why aren't Reform here? This is England. This is English tradition. If Reform are so precious about preserving English tradition, they should be fucking here ruining it for us as well. You know, what's their, they're so proud of English culture, and I've never seen any of them mention Beltane or the Green Man or do a Morris dance.
Yeah.
You know, or follow the Jack through Deptford and get horrendously drunk and rip leaves off of it and throw it into the crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, that's English culture. That's the English tradition I know.
Yeah.
Not fucking being topless and sunburned and starting fights with brown people, you know. So fuck Reform, you're right, obviously. There.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You're right there.
Thank you, yes. But I kept shouting, why aren't Reform here in the pub? And people were fucking starting to look at me funny. Until my girlfriend shut me up, yeah. Beltane, your connection with any?
No, nothing. Nothing druidical, really.
Never done
nothing to see. No, nothing.
Morris dance or anything. Did you do one in your in stuff? You never did Morris dance.
No, we
sketch?
Never. We never. No. Got no funny stories about that. No. I saw Mike. Mark Rylance and Jake Butterworth's Jerusalem. Mm. I didn't like it much, really. That's about all that.
Yeah. Well, I bet you're glad Mark Thomas isn't here this year again.
He's really good, Mark Thomas.
All right, should we talk about Golders Green then? Shall we take a question?
Well, we could start. I mean, it's. Those of us who are involved in the whole in the Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour years. I mean, have been predicting that playbook, the false allegations of anti-Semitism, will be wheeled out against the Greens.
Yeah,
and we're seeing that playing out at the moment. I think it's clear that it's exactly the same thing, and the media, you just treat it as if it's like the first time they've ever heard this bullshit. It's like, and they have all these fucking monsters, you know, campaign against anti-Semitism or John Mann, the fucking government, whatever he is, terrorism, fucking pig-faced twat that he is, being wheeled out to make the same allegations that they've been making for 10, 15 years now. And it's exactly the same. And we did, you know, we've always predicted that this would happen. I hope that the Greens, you know, have learned the lessons of the Corbyn years, really, and don't give in, you know. I mean, it's important these groups of community security trusts, the fucking board of deputies, the campaign against anti-Semitism, Jewish Labour Movement, all those groups are all, their primary function is as lobby groups for Israel. That's all they care about. And so they are lobby groups for a country that is committing a genocide of,
I
mean of immense proportions, but also a country that is so depraved. And I mean the depravity of that country, the cruelty and the cynicism and of what goes on in Israel, and the brutality in which they treat the Palestinians is just, I mean, staggering. It's a genocide, it's a Holocaust, and these fucking people are being treated like a fucking chief rabbi, are being treated as if they're good faith actors.
Yes.
And they're not. They're extremely bad faith actors, because they are people who are defending a genocide. Mm-hmm. They're defending an ethnic cleansing, apartheid, settler colonial state. And you know, I mean, I myself have suffered their attentions in 2021. When I did Desert Island Discs, they tried to get that withdrawn before it was broadcast. And I Stand With Alexei Sayle trended at number one on Twitter, was called Twitter then. And so don't, you know, I've suffered myself. I nearly.
Yes, I'm countless. Suffering.
that it is, it's the hypocrisy of the Labour Party, of Starmer. I mean, Starmer lies all the time. I mean, he lied about when he got elected to the leadership of the Labour Party, what he was going to be continuity Corbyn. He then immediately ditched that. He didn't say who was backing him in his leadership campaign, which was betting industry and then pro-Israel lunatics. He has accepted more freebies than all other prime ministers combined. He's taken more free fucking shit than every other prime minister combined,
fucking hell.
Including Tony fucking Blair. And you still hear people saying, you know, Labour Party people are coming, saying he's an honest man, and he's not. He's a profoundly dishonest man. And the one thing he seems to care about is Israel, really. He's the Jewish community. I mean, that seems the only thing that he really cares about. And it's so sickening. Yeah. You know, I mean, the last 3 years have been, I mean, my parents were communists, and there was a lot wrong with what they believed in. You know, as my mother used to say, you can't make an omelet without murdering 40 million people. What they did teach me was to identify with the oppressed, you know, and you can't get any more multiply oppressed than the Palestinian people. That they're oppressed by their own stinking Quisling leadership in the West Bank. They're oppressed by Israel. They're oppressed by the rest of the Western nations, with a few honorable
exceptions. They're oppressed by the Arab neighbors too.
They're oppressed by all those foul Arab autocracies. And the depths and the complexity of their oppression is staggering, really. And if you know, there is, you know, this people talking about globalized intifada, or, you know, chance. I mean, the people who are being demonized in this discourse the last couple of days are the people who, you know, are protesting against the genocide, and protesting against this despotic country which has sunk into extraordinary levels of cruelty and depravity. They're the fucking heroes in this fucking narrative, not, you know, they're the people who should be celebrated. Mm. And this obviously the last few years have been, have been difficult for all of us, really, since October 7th and even before then. And I've got a book coming out in September, which is all about that. And I hope that you'll buy it. But it's called How I've Tried to Change the World by Walking Down the Middle of the Street Shouting. And it's about, no, it's inspired partly by, you know, by going on those demonstrations. You feel, I mean, the experience of those demonstrations, I'm sure a lot of you have been on them. It's both thrilling in a way that you are. I'm often reduced to tears by the solidarity and the beauty of the people who are on those demonstrations. Yep. And not the shitbag like the fucking chief rabbi and fucking gobshite. But, and his son is in the IDF. But the nobility of the people on those demonstrations is staggering, really. And it's about that. But it's also that you feel a sense of powerlessness as well. That, you know, you walk up and down, and then you've got to stop that. You know, they even want to stop that. That simple expression of anger and revulsion. Even that is forbidden, really.
And you talk about, they lie to us over and over again, tell us that they hate marches and tell us that they encourage violence against Jews. And you sit there and it's like, wait, no, I was there. It's not. No. Why are you lying? Why are you gaslighting me? You're making me go crazy because every piece of media is telling me that I'm a member of a hate club, a racist, violent mob. And it's so clearly not. It drives you fucking mad.
Yeah.
It's fucking true. And you get a similar feeling being in rooms like this as well, of course. And, you know, it's much better than the Museum of Comedy, you know.
But it is the world. I mean, it is the world turned upside down. The true nobility is being displayed. The true care for humanity is being displayed by
the people on those marches
and not there.
Absolutely.
Not there,
and not someone there. Going on a stabbing spree or burning an ambulance, they don't represent the majority of us.
Connection.
They don't represent us at all. People who are advocating for peace and non-violence.
Well, he stabbed a Muslim guy before he stabbed
on the same day.
Yeah. Mentioned
that.
A Muslim's going to get a share of that £25.5 million?
Mate, 2-3 weeks ago, a Muslim woman was hit by a car outside of her home. She was visibly Muslim, and someone drove over her in London, I think, or maybe it was somewhere in the country. Someone drove over this woman and drove away, and there's footage of it and everything. No fucking mention of it. There's been countless attacks on Muslim people. Maybe not countless. I don't want to hyperbolate, but it's happening so much, and it doesn't get the headlines. We don't get words that they're threatening to ban because of it.
No.
We don't get reform getting told, hey, you better watch how you demonize people on our streets. The fucking attacks on refugees, on houses full of migrants that are just getting mobbed by these fucking Tommy Robinson cucks ripping the windows open and throwing...
I know, Tommy Robinson, it really disappointed because, you know, in the 80s he was singing about how he was glad to be gay.
And
that's a real turnaround on his... disappointed me there, I think.
And I do worry about the Green Party, whether they're going to deal with it well.
Yeah.
Like with the hypno-boob scandal, you know, Zach Polanski said years ago he could make boobs bigger by hypnosis. And so what? Good.
Don't think that's the party line.
But he apologized and said, I was tricked. I was scammed into it. But if I was the Green Party, you have to double down on those things. They should sell merch that says, I got these double D's and a free Palestine thanks to the Green Party.
I think it's good that you're not advising them then. But I wouldn't go that far. But they certainly need to be on the front foot. There are some worrying suspensions. A guy called Tony Greenstein, who is a difficult, disputatious character. But, he's been suspended, really, and he shouldn't be, I think.
Well, good luck to them, you know, and I hope...
I think hopefully they will. I'm very excited about the local elections next week.
Yeah,
it's going to be
same.
I hope the Labour Party is fucking wiped out.
No, what do you think of this? So I had the Labour Party councillors or councillor... they want to be councillor, and they knocked on my door and... So I was like, I can't ever vote Labour again after your complicity in the genocide, and you betrayed us, and I used to be a member, and I can never join again nor give you a vote until this is completely changed. And she said, we're councillors, and just so you know, I am a member of the PSC, and I go on all the marches, and we're trying to change it from the inside. And I did kind of feel bad for her. And, you know, I could tell she's not a terrible, bad person, obviously. But I still went, but how can you still be in Labour? How can you still stand there for them? Yeah, try and change it from these, but this is too far gone. I said, yeah. Since 2019, I cannot have anything to do with them again.
Lenny Henry, a friend of mine, was tormented with guilt by the fact that when he was 15, 16, he'd been in the Black and White Minstrel Show, which I don't know if you remember, it was an extraordinary minstrel show, which was on BBC One until 1979. And I told him to tell people that he was reforming them from the inside. By the time he left, they were the Black and White Panthers. Zing, 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 went a trolley. Clang, 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 went a bell. Massacre the white overlords. reforming them from the inside. Bullshit. You can't. They're irreformable.
Let's take a question.
Yeah, let's finally.
What do you think? Finally.
Yeah, let's take some questions. Yeah.
Would anyone like to ask Alexi a question? Let's see some hands if you do. Anywhere in the room. We've got someone right at the back. If you find anyone along the way, we'll get around to everyone, I think. Whoa, what's all that? Everything's fine. Here we go. We got a question. Whoa! My goodness, my Guinness.
Hello.
Can everyone be careful with the microphone? Fuck's sake, that cost a lot of money. Is it working? Oh, my God.
I'll just shout.
Okay. Hello?
Hello.
Hey. Right, Alexi.
Hello.
What I want to know is, what do you think the original diggers of 1649 would make of Wellingborough today? The politics, the people, the cost of living. What do you think they would think of us?
What would the diggers of...
Turn the mic down!
They'd be disappointed. They'd be disappointed in your PA system. I profoundly am disappointed reading that because all the Fs are. I'm really disappointed in Wellingborough and its found fiefdoms. Have you got an oldie? Yeah, they'd be impressed with the patisserie in the oldie, wouldn't they? I always get it mixed up. It's either Aldi or Lidl that's got the really good patisserie. It's Lidl that's got the good patisserie. I'm sorry.
Aldi has a good fruit and veg.
All right. Well, they'd be impressed with Lidl then, and capitalism has hung on. I think they'd be shocked that capitalism has hung on this long and has, is still with us. I think we're reaching the end times now. That obviously the U.S. empire is disintegrating.
Paul, one of the founding members of this festival, was telling us of the irony of where the diggers memorial, the diggers monument is. It's in where is it? It's in the middle of an industrial estate. Yeah. So obviously, yeah, I think he would struggle to plant potatoes in the paving, in the pavement and the tarmac.
They'd be surprised at the price of butter as well, really. They said Michael McIntyre's still fucking going.
Anyone else got a question? I might come. I might roam. How are we confident with that mic now? I was ready to pounce. Okay.
Is there anything to be hopeful about?
Is there anything to be hopeful about?
We've already mentioned Lidl.
Yeah,
I'm going to roam. I'm going to take the next question with this mic. All right, don't worry.
I genuinely think that there is. That obviously the terrible things that have happened in the last couple of years are the suffering has been immeasurable and unbearable in a way. But I mean, I think it has revealed, you know, the Western monopoly capitalism in its full evil to those that have the ability to see it. And I think that you do see, with the interest in left ideas, that there is a definite revival because people want an alternative. They can see that this system is not working, and they want an alternative. And there's some interesting things happening as well, that there were a lot of, you know, when your party first started, there were a lot of people set up like proto branches, I think, on the basis that, like they did in Camden and in Islington and stuff, on the basis that they would become the Your Party branches. And they've now, because Your Party has been a bit of a kind of clusterfuck, they no longer want to be that, but they've got really interesting ideas about building democracy up from the bottom. Camden People's Alliance, which is who I'm familiar with, that they're running clinics and advice workshops and housing campaigns alongside running for council seats. And it's the same idea in a sense as the Diggers. It's that endless idea, endlessly replicated. The power comes from the bottom. You know, the only way that humanity can advance the only way that we can be what we should be is by everybody controlling their own environment, and by not asserting, I mean, men not asserting dominion over women, and by mankind, humanity not asserting dominion over nature, and by living in a kind of harmonious relationship with the planet is the only possibility of avoiding environmental catastrophe, I think. And so there is hope in that people see these ideas. They are, you know, they suffer, you know, I mean, there's tremendous setbacks, you know, but it's also that, yeah, I do think there is a kind of ground to hope in a way, but it's not easy. It's very difficult. And the opposition, you know, I mean, being rich, being a capitalist, being a billionaire is a kind of, it's an illness, isn't it? You know, it's an addiction. It's about why do you want all this power, all this money, the money that you're never going to spend? The addiction of the billionaire class is what is literally destroying the planet, really. And so we have to find our only superpower is that we're everybody, really. I mean, we're every fucking person, yeah, apart from Elon Musk and, you know, Jeff Bezos, and we are everybody else. And that's, if we can only harness that, we can only harness that, that we are everybody and harness the power of everybody, then mankind, you know, humanity can progress and you know, climate disaster can be averted otherwise.
But how, Alexei?
I just told you, you're not listening.
Now, how do we harness that? How do we get everyone to...
Camden People's Alliance.
I think there was someone back here. Oh, the Camden People's Alliance, yes. I'm roaming now. I'll come back to you. Had a question back here. Yes.
Please. A few miles away from here is the factory for Dr. Martin's boots. Do you have a song about that?
I think they did. You got them there. They did offer me, I think, in the early days, some, if I wanted to promote them, but I never did. There's a village called Woodford Hulse, which is near where we live, in Morton Pinckney, and there was a big discount shoe warehouse there. And you know, I mean, it was. I actually had these. I mean, if you see, I wore these Dr. Martens boots. They were for paratroopers, and they were called Paradox, which was in itself a philosophical. It was a paradox. Even my shoes were a philosophic conundrum. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, what comedians do is that you get what good comedians do is you get to a thing before people realize that, and then that's what I did with Dr. Martens. Really, the people that I could see the people were wearing them, and you know, they weren't working on construction sites; they were lecturers in media studies, I just kind of highlighted that thing, and I've always also been interested in that idea, you know, kind of idiotic songs about, you know, how if we all just, you know, held hands, you know, we could, you know, we'd save the world, solve the world's problems. And so, I mean, that song, Dr. Martin's, which was also a parody of that, but yeah, I was happy really to just to really do that. But I never wanted to take money from them or really get involved in their shenanigans.
But like a minute ago, you were literally just saying how we should all hold hands and we could make the world better.
Yeah, but we should hold hands and then indulge in revolutionary Marxism, a violent revolution led.
Feels weird being down here.
I feel vaguely abandoned by you. I don't like him much, really. I'm glad he's gone. No, I don't.
Another question for you.
You had your hand up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Alexi.
Hello.
Of all biscuits named after revolutionaries, which is your favourite?
That's an age-old question, Jersey.
Yeah, I made that up, you know. That scene in that episode, Bambi, that scene of the young ones, I actually did. I think they'd said I was going to play the train driver, but I didn't know what I was going to say. And so I think I made that Revolutionary Biscuits of Italy that I actually, you know, I made that up actually on the spot, I think, while we were filming it. There used to be a hole in the script and just say, Alexi comes on and does something here. and I think that was the case with that, really. So,
not answering the question. Which is your favourite? Was it Geribaldi?
Pete Freen, Jeremy Corbyn, Assortments, Zach Polanski, Digestive, Murray Bookchin, Anarchist. I don't know. Really.
And there's Zara Sultana, Hobnob. Yeah.
Good point. Very good.
Thank you.
I don't know. The classics. Garibaldi.
Garibaldi. Are you comfortable just shouting your question out and I'll repeat it on the mic? Is that okay?
Yeah. I just wanted to ask, what do you think about Tommy Robinson calling
the
protest in Central London on
National
Day on the
15th
of May?
Do you think
that's quite
obligatory?
He has done that and he wants that to happen.
No, I mean, but the government has banned the Nakba Day.
Let me repeat it for the recording, please, Alexi. What do you think of Tommy Robinson calling a protest on Nakba Day, 16th of May, in central London? I didn't know that he was doing that.
But not only that, but the government has actually banned the Nakba Day demonstration and let Tommy Robinson go ahead. I mean, one of the weird kind of aspects of going on all those demos in central London is that at some point you pass the counter demonstration, which is usually, I think there's less and less of them, but they always have a much better sound system than we do. As proved, the left is deficient in sound systems.
Sorry,
as
Russ.
The roving mic has proved. But they always have a fantastic sound system.
They did a live link with Elon Musk, didn't they?
They pump out this kind of Israeli pop, and there's these North London housewives kind of dancing and snaking their hips as if they're in a kind of prose pro-genocide Zumba class. And there's not, but there's Zayumba. there's a weird kind of mixture. They have Israeli flags, Union Jacks, and the flags, of course, of Iranian
the Shah
of Iran. Yeah. And they're a weird kind of mixture of again, just the most. I mean, again, it's there's a phrase in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, one finger pointing forward, three pointing back, that when they accuse us, these static demonstrations, which are tiny. You know, I mean, there's 500,000 on our demos, and there's like 100 of them. But And I don't know whether, do any of them ever think, you know, why is there so few of them? Anyway, why are these people, you know, why have these people been marching for 3 years? But, you know, I mean, every accusation, you know, they call these, their static demonstrations Stop the Hate. And what they are is, they're the exact opposite of that. They are Start the Hate. And it's a weird kind of alliance now. I mean, I don't know if Tommy Robinson and Zionism, you know, because the Zionists are doing what they've always wanted to do, which is kill brown people. And so there's this weird kind of alliance now of fascists and Zionists. And it's depressing, I think. I mean, I remember there was one demonstration where there was a kind of Tommy Robinson style counter demonstration. I remember everybody, which I think was a really good tactic, that there were these people just sort of wandering amongst our demonstration with Union Jacks, and everybody was really nice to them. And it freaked them out, really, because they were expecting kind of to meet opposition. Everybody's just like, And I remember they were all in the pub and everybody's waving at them and stuff like that. And, their demonstrations are Start the Hate. And Tommy, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's an extraordinary example of the hypocrisy and wickedness of the Labour Party and of Shaban and Mahmood and all those people, that they banned Nakba Day demonstration and allowed Tommy Robinson to go ahead. But it's dispiriting, really.
Fuck him.
Yeah, or be nice to him. Kiss him.
Yeah.
Kiss Tommy Robinson. I don't know. I was just there.
Tommy Robinson.
Give him a hug. He's lonely and sad and he's little. He's a tiny little man, and he's quite give little. Him a, put your arms around him and give him like a hug.
Scruff his hair
there
a little.
Go. Yeah. He might go, oh God, I was wrong about everything. They've tried to ban the Nakba Day demo. Right. The Nakba Day demo.
Right. It's not yet banned.
Right. Okay.
All right, everyone calm down. This hasn't become a free-for-all. There's still a show happening. There's a gentleman with his hand up there, very politely. Yes, please.
Comrade.
Two questions. First question, do you think politicians will ever... Thank you very much, sir. Do you think politicians will ever gain a sense of humour? Second question, if Zach Polanski ever asked you to be his comic consultant, whatever you construe that to be, would you accept the mission, Alexei?
There's not many of them have got a sense of humour, really. I mean, you do see that, you know, that, I mean, that kind of what passes for humour in Parliament, don't you? That kind of extraordinary badinage. And as Hannah Spencer pointed out the other day, they're all shit-faced. So I don't know whether that helps or not. I've always said that I've avoided getting involved in a political party, that it's important that I think the comics somehow that we stay above the fray, you know, that we don't align ourselves with any one party, really. And I would probably stick to that. But I wish I think that the green surge is very exciting. I think that Polanski, by and large, has been fantastic in his way that he's dealt with the way that he's dealt with the media so far. And I hope that continues. You know,
they've done well casting him in that role. You could tell a politician's sense of humor by their attempt at viral TikTok trends and stuff like that, because some of them get it and do it, and some of them, most of them, just try to do it without clearly not understanding what it is they're doing. Some advisor has just told them, yeah, do this with your hips and your hands and point at the camera and I'll do the rest. Whereas people like Hannah Spencer and Zach Polanski seem to... Yeah. And, you know, it's cheesy as fuck, and I'm not a TikTok fan, but they're the ones who are connecting with the youth and getting the youth on their side and getting those young votes, which politicians have always struggled to do. Yeah. The sense of humor is a big part of that, I think.
I mean, most of them are arseholes anyway. Yeah. So, this has just occurred to me. It's got nothing to do with anything. I once interviewed Michael Heseltine, if you remember him, for an arts documentary. And he had the most amazing wheelie suitcase I've ever seen. It was like a kind of like a Hermes trunk.
Okay.
Like, you know, it was leather with straps and a little. Well, a wheelie case.
Okay. But he
so,
wasn't...
So, you know, Michael has time.
So if you're not going to be funny, at least have impressive luggage.
He had the
luggage.
Most amazing... Yeah, he had them.
We had that...
I used to bump into Boris Johnson because his office was in my street, and I used to stop and talk to him, you know. And I talked about this before, but I used to develop... I found Boris Johnson's charm at that point kind of really seductive, and I found myself kind of going all kind of proletarian in his presence and going, oh, Mr. Johnson, oh God, oh, insult me in Latin, Mr. Johnson. Oh, can I braid your golden hair, Mr. Johnson? And then I developed this fantasy that me and Boris were soldiers in the First World War. And he was an officer, and he'd be good to the men, make sure that all the poets had pencils. And I'd be a private, you know, but a nice body, you know, muscular, I think, and you know, sexual, you know, in a kind of polyamorous kind of way. And
was your army fatigued tight? Two sizes
very,
too small.
Very, very chiselled looks. Yeah. And I just developed this fantasy that me and Boris, you know, we were waiting for the kind of the whistle to go. It's like 1917, and it was the big push, and we were waiting, you know, before dawn, and the whistle would go, and Boris would lead us over the top, and the machine guns would be cutting our comrades to bits, with Boris would be leading and I'd be following, and then the artillery would start coming down and men were being blown to bits, with Boris would be leading and I'd be following, and then the whiz bangs started exploding in the air and again men were shredded, but Boris was leading and I was following, and then at the first opportunity I'd shoot him in the back. And I try and defect to the Soviet Union.
Kink unlocked.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Folks, if you haven't listened to the show before, we do this every week pretty much. It's the Alexei Sale podcast, all right? Find it on all your podcast apps and on YouTube and whatnot. You can also support the show with a few quid a month at patreon.com/AlexiSalePodcast. And we did an episode, we do a show on there called Alexi Reacts, where we watch old shit that he's done and Alexi reacts live to it. And we did the Dr. Martin's boots episode recently.
Yeah.
We've done sketches from stuff and your appearances in movies. And it's a really good time over there. There's chat rooms and stuff. So come find us over there. If there's one more question, we'll take one more question. Otherwise, right back there, waving frantically. Yes, please, go on. Whoa. You're asking the wrong man that, man. He's really going for a season five of Lexi Sale's Sandwich Bar.
I have season six. I have, I have mixed feelings about that. The BBC is not what it was. I mean, it used to be thrilling to work for the BBC. When we did stuff, I wrote a sketch, I think, called Snow White and the Seven Samurai. And it ended with cutting Snow White's head off. And the Disney organization issued a writ against us. So me and the other writers and the producer, we went to see the BBC barrister. And I expected her to be all kind of, you know, legalese, you know, ipso factum, ipso, you know, gobbledygook, you know, sic adua per astra. And quid hoc ergo propter hoc. And she, Amoa Marsa Matt, and Renault Citroen Fiat. And Daewoo Kia. And she said, fuck Disney, we're the BBC. And I think that spirit has been more or less completely lost. It's still, I mean, for all its, you know, for all its long years, it's still, that spirit still exists to a degree in Radio 4. You know, they keep commissioning Sandwich Bar. I mean, Linda thinks they do it just so they can, you know, point and say, well, we can't be reactionary. We've got him. but, you know, they keep, you know, I understand people's disappointment with the BBC. They still do occasionally produce great work. I think like Mackenzie Crook's recent Small Profits.
Well, there is obviously more to the BBC than the news. Oh, big fans. More
profit. No. I worked with Piers Quigley years ago, and it was a competition. Some bank clerk had won a competition in Granada to write sitcom, and I was in it, and there was a young performer there, and he said, I'm a comedian, he said, I said, oh, son, you know, knock it on the head, you're never going to get... And it was Peter Kay.
Wow.
I said, son, which I don't think I'm right, really. son, you shit. But, still not what? He's still that nostalgia bollocks, isn't it? I know, because I issued that bomb threat at the gig he had last night, and I'm still angry about him, you know. but, you know, they occasionally do so. But, I mean, The news and current affairs are a fucking disgrace. I mean, Laura Koonsberg and all those people are terrible. I mean, they're state broadcasters. So they are, you know, they just pump out state propaganda. They are a disgrace. So, I mean, yeah, don't pay. Just give the money direct to me, really. And me and Mackenzie Crook, and that'd probably do it, really. He's got enough money from Pirates of the Caribbean, so just give it to me, really. So, really, that'll do.
I agree. Here. Who agrees? Give him money. No, it'd be great to see that change. You know, they should be able to say, fuck Israel, we're the BBC. Fuck Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, we're the BBC.
Yeah, and they are state
broadcasts. Yeah. But there is more to the BBC than the news. But yeah, it is fucking, it feels like a betrayal when your state broadcaster is following these narratives that you just know are bullshit.
Anyway, thank you very much. It's obviously a fly-by-wire, fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants endeavour, this thing. We are.
Have you enjoyed yourselves?
It all comes... Yeah, thank you.
Many, many thanks to Claire, Paul, Ross, and everyone here at the Mayday and Diggers Wellingborough Mayday and Diggers Festival. Really appreciate it. Please give it up once again, Alexi Sale. And this has been the Alexi Sale Podcast.
You've been listening to the Alexi Sale Podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkuti.
Music by Tarbush Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexislpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.